Action Park Media.
Yeah. It's the return of the wild style fashionist. Smashing hits, make it hard to adapt to this. Put pizzazz and jazz.
Welcome to Victory the Podcast. I am Doug L.
Kevin Dillon.
Kevin Connolly. Well, 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 Dillon is back.
Back from the grave.
I got to tell you, there are people who are very concerned about you. So tell us, how are you feeling?
Well, you know what? I feel good now, but it was bad. It was bad because I had a cold. And I was just starting to feel better, and I had a bad cough, so I already had fluid in my lungs. And then to get COVID on top of that, I got really sick, man. I was still ready to go, though.
Hold on, wait, Kev, I had a great idea. I don't want to interrupt
with the podcast. I'm talking about the live podcast.
No, no. Doug was Bring Your Dog to Work Day. Boo is in the studio with us.
That's not you scratching your balls, Kev.
And that was not me scratching my balls, in case you heard that noise. Doug's
You've
dog.
You've been known to do it.
Right, right, right. Normally that would be me or Dillon, but Boo is here
scratching. You like to try and scratch my balls sometimes.
Are you uncomfortable, Doug, with Boo?
The only problem I have with Boo is when Dillon comes, we know what happens. Cheeto dust gets on the floor, Cheeto and Boo dust. is looking for scraps.
I don't get any Cheetos anymore. I get no respect.
Well, Stock Tip is gone as well. So.
Boo is walking around like there might be some food in here.
I know. I wish
scratching
Gary
Dillon's
would,
balls.
I wish Gary would take Boo right now because I don't know what she's doing. Normally she sits down.
She
and,
loves me, man. She's only human.
All right. So, but anyway, Dillon, for COVID, it's not real. It's terrible. Was it bad? Were you worried?
It was pretty bad.
But were you, was it?
Yeah, I was, it was. I get concerned enough because I get it in my lungs. My lungs get bad, you know? So my I started getting fluid in the lungs and a really bad cough. And I remember I was talking to you, Kev. I was still ready to go. That was right.
We're talking about the live show.
The live show. Yeah. I'm talking about the live show. I talked to Kevin Connolly, and we're talking about some ideas. And I actually started feeling shitty right about at that moment. It was starting to kick in, the COVID.
Right.
Because I was starting to feel better from the cold.
Did you day trade during the COVID?
Yes. Yes, I day traded. I mean, it's the only thing that kept me going. I love day trading. I'm not going to lie, man.
Are you making money?
Yeah, I'm up. I'm up.
And do you like it more than acting?
Fuck yeah. No. To be honest with you, it's a crazy thing. It definitely changes your moods. And you want to throw your phone at times. You want to throw your computer. You want to... I mean, it's crazy.
It's gambling.
But the idea of, you know, I'm getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning, man. That's not even me. I'm a night person. The idea of maybe going to the Caribbean where you don't have to pay tax and just day trade on the beach, you know what I mean? Drinking pina coladas.
Wait, come on. Like, are you thinking that this could be the what your play is?
I think I could live this way. I could make a living this way doing this.
Day trade.
I really do, yeah.
In the Cayman.
That's if we don't get Ramble On going on. If Ramble On happens,
I'm very concerned about this, and I really don't.
Dillon is thinking like I'll retire in the Caymans,
yeah,
sit, live on the beach, day trade, make some money, go hang out.
Everything
I'm
about
not,
this.
I'm not going to lie though, Doug. I had a bad day today, so I started off great. I took the TQQs, the triple Qs. It's an ETF. I rode that on the way up. It was nice.
This is Victory Day Trading brought to you by Kevin Dillon, a new segment. And then Kev.
Why don't we get Schwab as a sponsor?
Then I shorted the NASDAQ on the way down, and I made some money there, and things were going great. And I'm like, this is great. I should have quit right then.
Doug's got experience.
I jumped back in on the TQs.
You know, I don't like to give anyone advice on anything, but I will. Don't do this, Kevin. Just don't do this.
Doug, you come from, and I mean this with all due respect, like a lot of your buddies, you kind of grew up in that world of like brokers and all that. Those are like your buddies. Some better than others.
But we're talking, you know, Jordan Belfort, the Wolf of Wall Street has been a friend of mine for 30 years.
That worked out well.
And, different story, but I'm saying Jordan's a brilliant guy, and again, we can debate what he did wrong or not.
Let's not even just highlight Jordan. Just say that type.
But I'm
the
saying
type of personality.
But what I'm saying is not even a type of personality. A lot of people think Jordan or some of my other friends are just salesmen. These are brilliant guys, and they are also salesmen. But
they are strategists,
and they go deep in their research, and they can tell you everything about it. So
I want to do, Doug, is I really want. I'm mostly an investor,
but
I do want to learn how to, because this market could crash right now.
By the end of this podcast.
Yeah, it could be. No, it's hard. The
bell's closed
maybe after hours.
Today,
it's
probably.
Going out down after hours. I don't know. But to be able to do something while the market is going down, it's nice to have an option to do. other than watch your stocks plummet. You know what I mean?
Well, Dylan, also what I'm
getting... That's what hedge funds are for.
Well, I'm getting, Kev, I'm getting from...
Yeah, but they go down too.
What I'm getting from Kevin is that he's wanting to learn the game a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
You want to learn how to do it. I get obsessed with shit, man. If I'm into pinball machines, I'm going to get 20.
There's a great book you should read.
Pinball machines. There's
when you're scratching your balls, you're really scratching your balls.
Yeah, that was in the dog. That was me.
Great book for you to read. It's called Day Trading for Real Dummies.
For Dummies.
But all right.
But by the way, that's actually what he really wants, right? He wants to know the basics on how to do all
of it. To be honest with you, I mean, I'm just kind of, I already feel like I got it.
Can you imagine?
It's about getting in and getting out.
5 years from now.
He likes the live aspect of it. He doesn't want to pick up the phone and call somebody and they're out to lunch and he's got to wait.
I got some guys I could call too.
No, but I'm saying you want to fire instantly on your phone. Sell it.
I'm doing it on the phone and I got in my laptop.
Do you have a decent laptop?
I just bought a laptop for day trading. Unfortunately,
not for the podcast.
I bought it.
Yo, if we get Kevin, if we get you a Yeti, we get Kevin a Yeti mic. And we could, you know, on a day where you don't want to do traffic, you could jump on the podcast on your computer at home.
Well, I got an Apple.
Do you have an Apple?
But then, I realized...
The 12-inch? Did you get a real...
Then I realized when I couldn't download some of the stuff for day trading, you really need a PC for day trading.
So you have a PC?
No, I don't. Now I have to get a PC.
What size is your Apple MacBook?
It's an Air, the MacBook Air. Right. 16, I think.
Is that the one I gave you in 2013 or no?
I mean, is it new?
Yeah, it's brand new. It's brand new. I've had it for 4 days.
Oh wow! So he's still learning it. But Kev, we're gonna send you home with a Yeti microphone, and then when you go, I had a bad day trading. I don't want to drive out. You jump on the Zoom.
Oh yeah, can't wait to have Dylan in front of his terminal with doing a podcast.
I'll tell you what, we'll do a live thing with me day trading.
By the way, should we do a live? Yeah. By the way, can we do a live episode where Dylan jumps in with day trading?
Oh man.
We'd have to go early. Can you imagine when the market opens? What time's the market open? So it's 3 o'clock here?
6:30.
It's 6:30. So I got to get up at least. I really should be up before. So I get up at 6.
Have
but
a
I
coffee.
Should be up. You got to have coffee. You
got
to
shit.
You got to see what's happening though, because the after hours, the pre-market shit is coming through.
So you need 30 minutes of pregame.
Yes. You got to know what's going on, man.
Any part of you think there's a world where we see Kevin Dillon on CNBC 3 years from now giving advice on stocks?
Well, possible? Yes, I do believe it's just short selling. I mean that with all due respect.
No, I mean, I'm shorting NVIDIA right now.
I don't even know what that is. What is NVIDIA?
It's a chip maker.
It's overbought.
All right, we got to move on from this. This whole thing is making me almost puke. I'm
but
so
we do
terrible.
Know.
Is there any chance Dillon is like becomes a bum and loses all his money?
By the way, yo, you like with a Hawaiian shirt, like sipping
Pina colada
with your laptop on your chest is a frightening thought. I hope that doesn't happen, though. That would be terrible.
I hope that. All right, so, but let's
hold on one second.
I was just going to say, last thing on the trading, have you guys seen Eat the Rich on Netflix?
No.
It's all about the GameStop stuff, but it's more so about, like, the average day trader and the Robinhood stuff. Very good. You would like it. Oh,
yeah, check it out.
That's the old pump and dump.
And my friend is in there.
Your favorite thing, Connolly, a pump and dump. That is a real thing, a pump and dump of stock, by the way.
Yeah, man, I knew that, bro. But you do have a laptop that we could maybe, right? Might be easier to get you in here. Might be easier.
Yeah.
All right. I know you look forward to
it. I got a laptop, and I need a PC, too, because I need Windows. I need to see a lot of screens.
Right. A lot of screens. All right, we'll get him a monitor. What do you got, Doug? What's going on?
So Ramblon is out in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So, when you said to me, Ramblon is out, that's how you said it. So
You thought it was on Netflix?
Yeah. You said like it's over. It's out.
No.
Like, you know, it's out of it.
I don't have any idea what's happening at this particular second, but it is at all the streamers. Came from.
So people are looking at it, you say?
Came from one of the biggest agents in this town. This is the stuff that you guys don't. Well, Connolly's been in the trenches dealing with it, but it's the stuff you don't have to really deal with, which is the anxiety of, and we got Gary Goldman in the booth here.
There's been no anxiety on my end.
I've told Gary like 6 times. We're able to see who accesses the link. That doesn't mean anything.
Well, let's slow it down so everybody, including Dylan, gets it. Dylan, so what happens for people listening is there's a link that goes out of the episode. The link goes out.
It's only sent to certain people.
To a certain person with a certain time limit. And it'll know. Kevin Dillon has watched the link, and it's specific to you. So, Doug, go ahead, Doug.
But by the way, you don't know if Kevin Dillon watched it or his fucking dog watched
it. Well, I
so
didn't
we have no
watch
idea.
It because I didn't get the link.
No, I don't mean you. I mean the person who gets the link. You've already seen it.
I know what you're saying.
But Gary Goldman, who's in the booth, every morning I wake up and it says, this person at Hulu watched it. This person at Netflix watched it. And I've said to him now like 7 times, I don't want to hear this because all I do is have this anxiety. And then...
It says pending.
Yeah, but he gets excited.
People that haven't watched.
He gets excited because someone at like a big streamer watched it 3 times, okay?
Wow.
So then Connolly's like, you know, well, no one's going to watch it 3 times if they don't like it. But I know me. Sometimes when you see something so awful, you call you got to come over and watch
your
this.
Your boys like, yo, you guys are going to fucking die when you see this.
Can you believe?
No, it's,
you guys
it's die. Too You're good die to be that. So.
What I would say... with all confidence, I don't believe there's anyone on this planet that could watch this show and go, it's that bad that I want to laugh about
it. It's great.
No, but I'm saying someone could go, it's not as funny as I hope.
Or it's not my thing.
It's not my thing. Yeah. But nobody's going to go, it's not like Shrinking, where you're like, I want to kill myself watching this.
Television on a regular basis. Yeah. Like, there's a place for the show.
But the thing is, so everyone can understand the grind and the horror of the business right now, when you're a control freak, which I am.
Yes.
But I don't think like a nasty control freak. But I mean, when I put this show together, I did everything I could to make sure I could get it exactly I wanted. But now I have no control. Now it's just like, okay.
Well, what's the guy? Why do I always draw a blank on the guy's name, bro?
Who?
Your guy at the AFI, your teacher.
Stuart Rosenberg. Very
You cannot travel with your work.
You cannot travel with your work.
Why did it take so long for you to get it out?
I can give you a couple of answers from that, but...
Just the timing thing? It's just...
You know, I think, look, everything happens for a reason.
Were you tweaking with it still? Is that
we haven't tweaked with it in a few months, but we wanted the right person who seemed to really care about it rather than just an agent who's going to throw it against the wall like everybody else. But we probably should have gotten it out earlier. But I think all things point to this being a good time for it. And, you know, Charlie's got some good things happening aside from this that I think will excite the town. But, you know, at the end of the day, here's what I'll say to everybody, any writers, directors who are listening out there, you know, there's nothing we can do because you don't know who's watching it, what kind of mood they're in, what they're looking for, what they're hoping for, whether Kevin Dillon gave him a stock tip and they hate his fucking guts or whatever. You just don't know. So you're at the mercy of the system. And what I really thought, I guess, when we started this, I thought we could avoid the system. And I think you will be able to in a few years where you can release things yourself like Louis C.K. does with a stand-up show. The problem is this show is just too expensive for us to do it all ourselves and not have any financing. So, but anyway, I know that the show is really good. You guys are unbelievably good in it. And we haven't gotten more than 1 or 2 negative comments out of 100 people that have seen it. But now these are the buyers, so...
Cool, man.
So buyers have not seen it.
And by the way, Tesla, that's a good stock. Right? You got to go with Tesla.
Why did he say Tesla right now?
Stock. That's my stock tip.
That's a stock tip.
Thanks. Okay. Tesla. Go Tesla.
Wait, I don't know.
I don't own a lot of Tesla. I want it to go up.
I don't own any part of Action Park Media, but what I want to say is a disclaimer. We do not recommend you following any of Kevin Dillon's financial advice.
Us at Action Park will not be held responsible or liable for any stock information you might pick up from Kevin Dillon and or Dave, by the way.
I want to get into...
Dave. Stock tip Dillon. Forget about it.
I want to get into something.
So real quick before you get in, I want to say one of the funny things, because I am on the I do get those same text messages that you get. I just prefer mine on a different chain because I know the anxiety that it gives you. But one of the worst things about the way the text is set up is that there's all the people that watched it, and then there's on the bottom it's pending, like the people that didn't watch it. So instead of focusing on the people that did watch it, and you're like, well, what the fuck is wrong with this guy?
What's the ratio to watched and most people, unwatched?
That's the point. Most people have watched it, but when there's 1 or 2 that hasn't, you focus on these people.
But by the way, I'm not focused on the not watching. I'm more focused on the people who watched it because, you know, we did get very early on, and they were not necessarily buyers, but big producers, a couple of former studio heads. They watched it, and what never happens is people call you on a weekend. So we got calls when it first went out on the weekend, like, this is so good. And a big production company that we were going to make a deal with, they watched it on a Saturday and called 10 minutes later, like, this is amazing. We want to do this. Come in and pitch the whole show. And we did. And they said, let's do it. And then I honestly can't even explain what happened. I've never seen it in my 30 years in this business. They said, let's go. They called my lawyer and they started stuff, and then they just, they evaporated. Like, I don't even know what happened.
The point is, like we said, there's nothing that you can do. And I agree with you on this one, Doug. Like, racking your brain around what multiple views means as opposed to not viewing it, it's like you could just make yourself crazy, like trying to get into people's heads or understand. Like Doug said, who knows? Maybe somebody's assistant watched it. Yeah. Maybe they're...
When did it go out? It went out Friday?
They started going out Friday.
Today's Monday. Right. Yeah. So, I mean...
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, we're...
Listen, I've really... I mean this sincerely. I've tried to not have any thoughts about this whatsoever. I mean,
Doug wants to be pulled out altogether.
You know, and there's different... You see the different personalities. Like, I talked to Charlie, and he's like, you know, I'm like, oh, this one watched. He's like, that's great news. And I'm like, God, you're so positive, Charlie. Like,
right.
Like, I'm like, if they didn't call me or come over to my house and hand me flowers, right. then
Doug
I'm not...
Doug wants
like,
a mariachi band out in front of his house.
Yeah. Well, what I've realized, one of the things you really have to do in this business, and you guys sort of know this, but you have to enjoy the process of all of it. But right now, you know, new baby and new house, like I got a lot of pressures that I didn't have 12 months ago. So, right. So if you have real estate,
I was out in that neck of the woods. I was in Desert Hot Springs.
Yeah. Feel free to always just show up at Doug's house.
Yeah.
Whenever
you're
out there.
Yeah. You could have stayed there, Dylan. I think you'd be
crash on the couch.
Quite happy in that house.
Play a little golf.
I definitely, you know, I ended up at the casino, not Morongo. There's another one out there.
What I don't know. I'm not a gambler.
Agua Caliente.
Agua Caliente. Agua.
Can you imagine I have Dylan staying at my house and all of a sudden at 6 a.m. the internet's not working and he can't fucking day trade?
Oh, yeah, man.
Doug, this is bullshit. Yeah. This cost me $5,000, bro.
Dude, I was having a problem with my phone freezing up and I was freaking out, man.
The whole thing sounds awful. All right, but anyway, getting back to our podcast, Victory the Podcast Live with a very special guest that we'll announce soon, April 8th, Stand Up Live, and this time, Dylan...
I'm there.
You're there.
I'm not going to get COVID again.
Even if you get Ebola, there. We're going to fucking put you on a chair and sit
there. I got to tell them about my idea because I was still feeling good. The COVID hadn't totally kicked in at this stage. I was like, I got an idea. You could wheel me out in like a plastic box, you know, to protect the crowd.
Yeah.
I'll be like Hannibal Lecter out there.
That
would have
been amazing.
I would take pictures of me in the box, you know, some kind of a plexiglass.
I think we should do that even if you're healthy.
I was so desperate. That I was like, wow, that's a great idea.
You were entertaining that.
That's a fucking great idea. Let's bring Dylan out in a glass. I woke up the next morning, I'm like, what the fuck was I talking about?
No. Dude,
you in a glass, it would have just been bizarre. I mean,
it would have been hilarious.
I thought it was
dude.
A comedy bit, but then when I spoke to Dylan and he was coughing, he was serious, like, about trying to make it, you know.
Right, like, well,
I was,
like,
but then I started getting really sick. Then I started going,
so you're saying
man.
You got sicker later?
Yeah. Well, like, when I had that idea,
you
it
got
sounded
sick
great.
After that?
Yeah, I got even sicker. I started getting like, you know, I had a fever. I hadn't even been, was I tested at that? Yeah,
yes.
I was tested. Yeah.
You were definitely.
Yes, Dylan, that was the other thing. I got a little bit sicker. I wanted to talk about that. Dylan,
I had a fever for about 3 days.
Dylan sends me a picture like your high school girlfriend would from like a back alley with a pregnancy test.
That's what I said. I said, what is Dylan, having another baby?
Dylan holds up his COVID test to me, which I...
From afar, it looked like a pregnancy test.
Yeah, but the thing you got to remember with Dylan is...
I was just trying to let you guys know this is for real,
but
man.
Dylan is so old school. I just want you to know, like nobody, and I'm horrified that you were sick. Like most people now don't test anymore and don't take COVID. Like they don't take it that seriously. All right, you got it. And in a few days, you'll be okay.
With that many people in a room, I mean, it would be wrong for me to step in there with COVID.
Yeah, but after 10 days, I mean, or whatever, 5 days. But anyway, it doesn't matter. You can't...
No, but I had just gotten it.
Yeah, so you can't
I'm
get
sure
it again. That's the good news. So
he's
April
saying
8th,
that after that, we talked to him that day, after we talked about Hannibal Lecter, you got sicker after that.
Yeah, wow. That was the beginning of it. Because I had a cold.
And how long
Remember
were you
Remember, I had
sick?
A cold. I did this podcast. I had
How
a cold.
Long were you sick?
But that wasn't COVID because I got tested.
Yeah. How long were you sick?
I was sick for 2.5 weeks or something. It was Jesus. A long time, man.
Do you know why you were sick? And my daughter called me an almond dad because she thinks I'm a nutritionist. I know I'm right. Those fucking Cheetos. I don't care if they sponsor us. I don't care. You got to stop eating
how
that shit.
How dare you?
You got to stop
first
eating
of all,
that shit.
First of all, how dare you? Second of all, how dare you Cheetos for not sponsoring us? The double
I had two Sabret hot dogs today with the hot sauce and chili.
If you were eating two mushes a day, I had COVID and I had a headache. I could have taken over your day trading platform when I had COVID.
Can we send you some mush? We could, by
mush.
The way, mush. Yo, listen.
I'll smush you.
Mush doesn't.
What is mush?
We could, whatever. They don't pay us. They could pay us and pay Dylan in free mush.
I'll try.
It's a healthy thing. That's like, it's really good.
Do you know how they paid me, Kevin? In health.
In mush, right. Well, you know what?
In low
cholesterol.
We're going
to call Sarah at Mush and we'll send you some stuff. they're great to have in the fridge just for that.
And I'm trying so hard to get everybody without being a Nazi. Without being a Nazi, I'm trying so hard. Gary Goldman, we've eaten together. I'm getting the guy healthy.
Does Gary have a bad diet?
What did he do?
He walks in here today with fucking Girl Scout cookies, which I know are like, I love the Girl Scouts. I donated $10 at Ralph's the other day.
Great cause.
But their cookies are shit. They've got to have trans
fat. That's why they sell them so
sugars
cheap.
And garbage. You know?
They're a gift.
They're
a
delicious.
Gift. And I ate them and I loved them.
And I will continue to eat them.
You don't eat them.
I almost ate the whole sleeve of them.
I don't sleep. All right, so by the way, I'm back in the gym, getting ready to push you.
No, you don't look it. I don't see it.
Wait,
hold on, Kevin. I was about to say, this is the first time, and I know this guy like a book. Again, I love you, Kevin. You're handsome. You're
nothing
a good man.
You can say to me. You that can even
he's told me he's
right
in
now.
The gym the last 3 days.
I feel good.
And then all of a sudden, the Islander jacket for the first time in years comes off, and he's got this tight little T-shirt on with his little pale arms bulging out of it.
I can't. I don't know what to say if it appears tight right now because I've been working out. That's you're gonna have to talk to
it. Used to fit normally. Now it's just tight.
Normally, I've worn this shirt plenty of times. Now it's tight. If it appears tight to you,
your arms.
Then maybe I'm getting my job done. At Gold's Gym.
Well, I will not make fun of you because I want us all to be fit. And I said this to
you.
Well,
now that I know that the show's out, I'll start hitting the gym again.
April 8th.
I said to both of you when this podcast started, we're going to be successful. I said to you both, watch the Eagles documentary because Glenn Frey and Don Henley said to Joe Walsh.
You reference this a lot.
Get healthy because we can make a lot of money. And I'm saying it now. We can't miss live shows. We can make real money if we can get
these shows
and we could sell them out. We can make real money, more than your day trading, and easy.
And we could play golf.
And we could play golf, but especially
I played yesterday.
No, but I'm saying we could go to a cool city, play golf during the day, go home, take a nap, go do a live
show. But now I need you guys' backs, okay? You ready for this?
Oh, okay.
I got a creeper, a stalker. A fucking animal.
Dog's got a guy chasing him around.
Who just keeps, and part of me thinks I know who it is, which is even more egregious and outrageous. But 2 days ago, I was going to invite this scumbag onto this podcast because I thought it would be funny and interesting. But then, Kevin, this little fucking pussy went after both Sarah and Zulai and their podcast and your company, still blaming me for all of it. And what I will say to this, nothing of a human being. You could have come on the podcast and I would accept whatever criticisms you have to say. And I will also accept if Kevin Connolly and Kevin Dillon would like to say, we don't want you on the podcast because I'm not a fucking moron. I know who my stars are. That's why I didn't want to do a live podcast without superstar Kevin Dillon. But to sit here and say what this guy wrote, I just want you to understand what he wrote, what he puts on the Apple podcast, which you know how special and sacred that Apple thing is to me. And I want all of the fans to say to you, criticize us all you want, but give us the 5 stars. Kevin Dillon and Kevin Connolly, I'm trying to help them make a real living so they can enjoy their lives. And if Kevin Dillon and Kevin Connolly don't want me in this podcast, I'll walk
away. Is this the guy that says I condone violence by allowing you to work here?
Oh, this guy said I committed a felony by threatening to shoot him. No, I said if you come near my house, I will shoot you. Stand your ground. But anyway, when you go after the mother of my children, then we're at a different place. So you're no longer not only not invited, to this podcast.
Have you met this guy or is this a guy online?
He's online, but I have a feeling I've met him.
Day trader online.
I have a feeling I've met him. But
you can't get wrapped up in these.
I'm not wrapped up in it. I'm not wrapped up in it.
I love how I got dragged into it for basically harboring a fugitive, essentially, is what I'm doing.
But listen, I want to say this because I want everyone to know out there the criticism, I promise you. I could care less if you criticize me on this podcast. This is a side hustle, hobby, fun to hang out with my friends. I don't care what you think of me. Don't listen. Or if the guys want me, I will walk away. No harm, no foul.
What are you talking about, bro?
Hold on. When the critics come after the show or other works that I've done, that hurts because I put my entire life and my heart into it. So what this guy said, he goes, we all know you did nothing. We all know that this was a done deal with Wahlberg before you were ever even got involved. No, this wasn't any done deal. This was 2 years of me working my ass off, sitting in a house by myself, writing scripts before I even knew I was going to get these amazing actors
to help
elevate
it. By the way, even if it was a done deal, you got to do it.
Yeah,
right?
It wasn't. It wasn't,
anyway,
though. But he also said, we know what Rob Weiss did in the writer's room and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know. Rob Weiss was an amazing contributor.
Have you considered that this is like some 15-year-old kid somewhere?
No, I need you to really understand. I promise you I'm not upset. I enjoy the content of it, But when you go after my fiance, when you talk about their podcast that they also do for fun, they don't make any money on it. When they say Kevin Conley should fire them, which, by the way, Kevin Conley can't fire them. They pay for that podcast themselves because they enjoy being together and they have a good time and they're mothers and they're good people and they have something to say. So anyway, to that little cuck, you're a nothing fucking zero. Period. End of story.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back.
We're going to cool off a little
We're
bit.
We're going to take five.
I want your tough Irish backing.
Well, Jesus, good Lord, please, let's take a 2-minute break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I'm always feeling like my best self when I get some exercise. When I'm in a good routine and I'm able to string together a bunch of days of exercise, that's when I'm always feeling at my best. And when you're at your best, you can do great things. But sometimes, it is what it is, life can get bogged down. You may feel overwhelmed, like you're not showing up the way you want to. Working with a therapist can help you get closer to the best version of you. Because when you feel empowered, you're more prepared to take on everything life throws at you. I mean, it's no secret. I mean, we talk about it all the time on Victory. I've benefited from therapy. I like it. You know, some people think it's not for them. A lot of people are uncomfortable. They think it's too expensive. They don't want to talk to strangers. I mean, I get it. But therapy is good. BetterHelp is good. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online. Fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist at any time for no charge. So if you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Trust me. Visit BetterHelp.com/victory today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/victory.
All right, welcome back. Victory the podcast.
Wow. Oh,
dude, that was, you got a lot of anger.
Was that a run?
He was really hot.
And good. I mean, do you feel better?
I felt great
when I
started.
You let that one fly, bro. That was like a Shakespearean sonnet.
You like it.
That was a single. We wouldn't even cut away from that. That was a one-take wonder.
I was good. I was like Russell Brand on Bill Maher. Did you see him the other night? The guy's pretty...
By the way, Russell Brand is incredible.
I love him.
It is amazing.
Talk about reinventing yourself.
He can go on 7-minute rants and he doesn't stumble for a second.
Right. You stumbled a couple times, but for the most part...
You can edit that, right?
Yeah, it would make it sense. It's going to sound like butter when you're listening to this. Trust me. I would say to breathe.
I feel great.
I haven't even looked at my Instagram since I've been sick, so I have no idea.
Here's what I want to talk about that I don't feel great about, but I do feel great about. I have been on this fitness kick. I'm eating amazing. I am exercising as much as I can, but I hadn't had bread in 2 weeks. I go to my place, Courage Bagels, maybe the best bagel on the planet Earth. I go and I walk in.
I've heard you say that about a lot of bagels.
No, trust me.
It feels like he says like the best bagels or the best pizza every other time.
Or usually the last one he just had.
This one is special.
Sounds like Doug's teeing himself up.
There's some great bagels out here this weekend.
Anything for a free slice of pizza.
I won't even accept free bagels, although Chris is, he's staying at my house in the desert this week. I'm trying to butter him up that way. But anyway.
What part of the desert, real quick, though?
La Quinta, right next to Indian Wells Tennis Center. I mean, yeah, right next to Madison Club. Nice. I mean,
Doug wants to be as close to Coachella as possible.
Yeah. My daughter will be going, but I will not be going.
Oh, God. By the way, they're not even going to let you at the house.
Well, I know. It's going to be ugly.
That's coming for Doug for Coachella. Maya's going to be like, listen.
But wait, let me just throw out my bagel story. 82
years old.
Let me throw out my bagel story. So, by the way, Courage Bagels, Pops Bagels, Yeasty Boys.
Free bagels.
No, these are all great, but Courage Bagels.
Yeasty Boys.
Ew, dude. Yeasty Boys. Infection down there?
Yeasty Infection Boys.
Courage Bagels, though, it's like a piece of art. I'm telling you right now. But anyway, I go 12 days with no bread, no added sugar, and I'm feeling great. And I walk into the bagel place and he goes, are you okay? I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you look really thin. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
The last time you came in here, you had bagel face.
Yeah. So I got to hit the weights. I have to hit the weights. So
it's good that you're feeling good, but you're definitely fired up. I mean, listen, how are you feeling like all in all?
I feel great.
No, I know you feel great physically, but is it all like coming to a point with like, the links and does it feel?
I'm very, very stressed out about
sleeping.
The show.
You're not sleeping well. Yeah.
Look, I'm very stressed out about the show and I need everyone to understand this. Part of me, one of the reasons I don't work, which you can say is like, you know, insecurity, whatever you want to say.
I could say a few things.
I don't like this anxiety because I like when I'm on the set and I'm in control and I do what I want to sit around and like fucking have Gary go, Jimmy watched it last night. He accessed it at 3:23 a.m.
Is that your Gary impression, by the way? Gary in the booth right now.
We don't want anyone watching at 3:20 a.m.
But I'm just saying, all it makes me go is...
You're awake.
All it makes me go is I have no control over anything. And I swear to you, if we get on the air, People are going to like this show. Not because of me. You guys are amazing. I have shown this to people who I think Kevin Connolly in Entourage was incredible. We know he had, which might have been the writing.
Issues.
He had issues. People thought he was
character
a downer.
Issues.
Everyone who's seen this show, people I trust say,
E, you whiny little bitch.
You know what they say, Connolly? They go, this is the best Connolly's ever been. And you
I've
know,
said before, I feel like I'm a better actor now than I've
But ever that's better out. Than in Unhappily Ever After,
it
if you can believe
better.
It.
I was, so. Yeah. No, I was new to the comedy game.
But so that big wheel commercial, you're real natural.
I want people to see you guys, and otherwise, I just want to erase. That's why I love the podcast. Unlike stand-up comedy is all the anxiety of these animals in the audience and whether they laugh or not.
These animals.
This, I just sit here. I do what I do, and people can hate it or they like it, but I don't feel that. When they have
you
the
do
links.
Feel it, though. When they hate it, you hate that guy he'd probably be really unimpressive. If you saw the guy that got you that riled up, he'd probably be like, wow. I'm sure you have a hot, I bet you yeah. have, you'd be disappointed.
I think Gary understands me more than you guys. I'm really not riled up. I'm
called
just,
him a fucking simp cuck.
Well, he is, but I'm just simp saying, cuck. I'm not riled up about it. It's just content for me, you know? It's just like a chance
no,
to-
you're not riled up.
I am not riled up. I will be riled up if someone goes, oh, I saw your show, it sucked. That riles me up. Okay. Yeah, I mean, but this I don't care. But it's we got to talk about something. What else?
You are feeling the pressure. Well, we'll get
feeling
to
the
stocks.
Pressure.
I got a couple stocks we could talk about.
I'm feeling the pressure because you know I got a new baby, and I used to say this about Entourage, and no one ever understood. I would sit in the offices on Entourage when you would call me from like Bootsy Bellows.
Always says the same story,
and
about
I would be
me.
No, you were awesome, but you gave me stories. Thing. You would call me up and be like, "Yo, I just ran into Harvey," and I'd come up with a story. But I would sit there and go, "I can't believe this is my life sitting here trying to figure this out. It's like a puzzle and you stress and you go this." And I said, you know what? I don't need to do it again. But now I always wanted my kids to look at me like, you work, my dad's. So now I have a new baby. So now I hold this baby and I'm like, Bella, they accessed the link last night.
She's
hopefully
like,
they like it.
She's
you
like,
know?
Oh, I had a great childhood. My dad didn't do much.
Yeah. Oh.
Too much.
That's the worst. What does your father do? Do you remember that scene in City Slickers?
You know I don't know what my father does. He yells.
He used
really
to do.
Fucking rowdy
he used
on a microphone.
To do a TV show.
One of the fun. Yeah, back in the early 2000s.
Back in the early 2000s, he used to do a TV show. But other than that,
one
you know,
of my favorite scenes.
Pickleball.
One of my favorite scenes that has never gone away from me because it always was so real. Billy Crystal in City Slickers. Jake Gyllenhaal was playing his son, and it's Bring Your Dad Today to talk about your career.
Bring Your Dad to Work Day?
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Bring Your Dog to Work Day, which is what you need to say. But go ahead.
But Billy Crystal is telling his miserable, boring job and his kid,
and
Jake Gyllenhaal.
It was
Gyllenhaal.
In that movie? Wow.
First role.
Holy shit.
And he's horrified. And I'm just thinking about my daughter at 13. They're like, I come to work. They're like, so what do you do? I'm like, I stand over Dylan's head and watch him day trade and hope he slips me a tip, you know? Like, that's where my stress lies.
I went, it was my birthday this weekend.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, you old timer.
You never got me that thing. We'll talk about that. Yeah.
You didn't get mine either in the mail? No.
Dylan, you want to split a gift for him?
Yeah,
I went to that. You know what I want. That
whatever you give him,
gift.
It's from both of us.
I went to the UFC fights this weekend.
That's right.
Vegas. Nice. One and done. Yeah,
how was that?
You know, it's crazy out there. Those guys are, that John Jones, I mean, fuck, man, I don't know. I guess he's bad
you
dude.
Think so?
He's
yeah.
a bad dude.
Now, weird, I didn't see you. I saw Wahlberg. I saw Mario Lopez. They didn't flash you.
He was in the back seats. No. He was in the nosebleeds.
No. We were ringside, thank you very
were you
much.
Ringside?
Yeah, of course.
Were you with, I don't want to ask if I'm not allowed to say, but.
You should have sat on a book or something so we could see you.
No, I wasn't ringside.
I'm kidding.
You're not really kidding. I mean,
well.
By the way, if I'm totally honest, I would have killed to have five books on my seat because I had a stander in front of me.
Oh, you know? That's the worst.
You know what? It's funny.
Down in front.
They remind you of something?
Well, you know what he did was like he, you know, he was a cool guy and he's like, hey man, you mind if we get a picture? I'm like, oh. Absolutely, this is great.
You might sit your ass down.
You switch seats with me.
No, I said, oh, nice to meet you. Oh, yeah, let's take a picture. And then now, after we got the picture in the can, now I say to him, bro, are you a stander? Are you going to be standing
up? And he says, go fuck
fight?
Yourself.
And he sat down because he was a gentleman.
Ah, that's
but thank God, but I had to trade the picture for
because,
it.
Because Kevin.
What?
Kevin. Two things.
I saw the Diaz brothers, and Nate Diaz knew who I was. That was exciting.
That is exciting. Remember, we almost had a fucking little Kevin Connolly Irish anger issue at the, was it the Kings game with Lucas Ellen?
Just defending your son. Sorry if you weren't around to defend your kin. He went around.
He is a master deflector, but Connolly, someone was not sitting down at that game, and Connolly was going to kill him. Which I love. That's what I'm saying.
Yelling down in front, and he just wouldn't get down?
Or? Something like that. He didn't take. He said, I don't know. I felt
you
like
got him to sit down.
Yeah, he sat down, but Doug's going to make it sound.
You didn't throw a paper airplane at his head, did you?
I wanted to talk about.
We had a heated exchange.
There were two instances.
At the Klitschko fight, he threw a
I want to talk about the Klitschko fight.
I was kidding.
But Connolly doesn't appreciate when I compliment them. I loved how Connolly was at the game. But two stories that we probably told on the podcast before, but it doesn't matter because you don't remember them. But we had two incidences with a stander-upper, and one was at the Klitschko fight with Luke Wilson. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah. I was living in the scene. The cameras were rolling. We were acting.
That was crazy.
Everybody thinks he's such a bitch. Well, guess what? He just fucking hit, who was it? Lennox Lewis with a hot dog in the back.
That was you're
convinced, mixing up two stories?
Two fights.
Who
two
did
fights.
I throw a paper airplane at?
No.
It was like a bunch of Ukrainian,
I wasn't involved.
That's what I'm saying.
There were
two fights. Kevin Connolly launched something at somebody, and it hit Lennox Lewis, who turned around and looked at me like he was going to kill me. Right. And I was like, I didn't do it.
But I was doing that for the cameras.
But the fight I was talking about was Luke Wilson.
I was not involved in that at all, other than thinking we're going to get our faces mopped with the
floor.
And
by the way, we are defending and fighting the Ukrainians, and those guys almost killed us that night.
By the way, let's call it what it is. They almost killed Luke Wilson.
Yeah,
he was the guy. Yeah. We had nothing to do with that other than Luke was in the scene.
But Luke Wilson
you don't want to fuck with Ukrainians. Bottom line is you do not want to mess with
those guys. If those guys stand on their chairs, then they're just going to have to stand on their chairs.
So let's just set that scene. That was at the Klitschko fight where we're filming.
Right.
And we are second row ringside, and in the front row are every single one of them.
We were back a little bit. We were back. I don't know, probably 7-8 rows. So that's why Lennox Lewis and there was some people in front of us. But Klitschko's family was in the front of us.
And how amazing is he now? He's the mayor of Kyiv. And he's like the heart of this war right now.
He's got a bulletproof vest on.
He's unbelievable.
But those guys who we have no idea if it was his family or not, but they looked like killers. And they were standing up on their chairs. And every one of them was a monster.
They were huge.
And Luke Wilson said.
They all had scars.
What did he say?
I think Luke told him to
sit your ass down.
Right.
And
didn't go well.
Do you remember what happened?
With the camera? Yeah, I mean, he got smacked, right? Yeah, I mean, we can say that, right? I mean, Luke he caught kind of a half a smack.
And we, like...
he caught a full smack,
I feel
bro.
Like we tried to be...
Pretend like we were going to do anything. I mean, I guess, especially with the cameras rolling. I know that I was, like, I was more towards the end of the row.
Yeah.
So it was kind of inside, so I was able to do, like, some fake motions, like I was going to jump in there,
I turned to Grenier and said, Grenier, you don't take that shit.
Like, Grenier, you head for the exits right now.
Those guys legitimately, though, would have killed us.
Yeah, that would have been terrible. Yeah. By the way, they wouldn't have even, cooler heads would have prevailed, but it almost happened. Dylan does not know about the retention of semen. Did you hear that?
What about it?
All right.
Adrian retained semen. Did you know that?
No.
He's not releasing.
So how do we quickly, while we're here, show Dylan?
That sounds unhealthy.
So obviously we love AG. We're talking to him. He's going to come on the pod.
You've been talking. Nice.
Yeah. We are talking. Negotiations.
I've been talking. Right. Connolly doesn't respond in the text.
Underway. But he had done some podcasts, and, this is like typical podcast stuff. But, they clip you. I'm using air quotes. Like
They clipped Adrian?
They take a clip of something that you say, and that's what they run with. And the clip goes something, and we'll run the audio right now. The part that they showed was Adrian saying, ever since I've been retaining semen.
Oh, my God. That sounds so unhealthy.
Right. So
that's how you get testicular cancer right there.
Dylan, you don't retain while you're day trading or what?
You retain your semen while you're
day trading? Sometimes I got to rub one out just to stop me from fucking making another
trade. Why do you think Dylan needs two screens? He's got one porn on and one on day trading.
So I, of course, a million people are sending Doug and I this clip of Adrian saying semen retention, right? So we both have seen it. We're actively trying to get the guy.
You've seen him retaining it?
We're actively trying to get the guy on the podcast. So I basically, before we do the podcast, I'm like, Doug, let's like maybe lay low on the semen.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about it
on the semen retention. 2 minutes into the pod, Doug just says something, and then we do like an 8 or 9
minute
run.
So wait, he was on?
No.
Okay.
He was on another podcast talking about retaining his semen.
Yeah.
So we talked about it. We said, of course, there was semen retention. Kevin, you would have excelled in this little bit that we had going on.
We felt like you were missed. That was the problem.
We're like, we need Kevin for his semen retention jokes. But then Doug cuts.
I've been retaining mine for about 24 hours. I got to get it out. It's got to get out of here.
Dylan,
how long have you retained your? Have you ever intentionally retained your semen?
No. No. I'm trying to get it out as soon as possible.
But by the way, we did make a
it
social clip.
It wants out. It just wants out.
We did make a social clip of Doug and I talking about it, which again, I didn't think was a great idea, but apparently Adrian saw it and was amused by it and is like, not mad. He's still going to come on the podcast.
Okay.
So we're allowed to talk about Adrian.
I don't know why you think he's mad about it.
I'm going to have to look at that.
He went on a podcast talking about it. By the way, the Meat Mafia podcast.
That's fair. He didn't talk about
it. The Meat Mafia podcast reached out to me and I'm going to do their podcast. Maybe you guys will do it with me. They're going to come into the studio and maybe you guys can talk about whatever you feel
about
that.
I'm just saying every podcast, there's day trading podcasts. There's comedy podcasts.
There's semen retention podcast.
There is clearly a semen retention.
No, that's not a semen retention.
That's a semen retention podcast, but it works for that podcast. Yeah. For Adrian to come on here and talk about retaining his semen, what do you think Dylan is just going to sit there?
No. Like, do you remember when De Niro?
Leave that alone.
Remember when De Niro retained his semen in Raging Bull, which I guess fighters. I don't know if they still do it or not, but
yes,
is that a thing now still?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's. Not, I don't know if it's.
You think John
is,
Jones retains his semen?
Like, you don't have sex the night before the fight.
No, I think it's.
But I don't think you go. You know.
No, it's about semen retention. It's not sex. It's semen retention. You want to retain as much semen as possible leading up to the fight. So, like, maybe it's 5 days a week that you retain your semen. By the way, we should probably find out. I don't know.
He might be doing the kind of thing where he's having sex, but still not.
That's what I'm
edging.
Releasing.
Edging, I believe the kids releasing. Call it. Edging.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah, Dylan
that's
edges disgusting. While he day trades.
I call it cheating on yourself, man, by not giving yourself a decent orgasm. I mean, come on. Well, that's what it's all about. That's what you're there for.
Give yourself a decent handy.
By the way, Beefy Scotty is dying to jump in here.
Well, this is the grossest conversation in victory history.
I don't know.
All right. Well, Grenier was not offended. He retains his semen. Dylan, you unintentionally retained your semen, but, you know. It's only Monday.
We'll be back.
Victory the Podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What's up, Victory listeners? Whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the name Your Price Tool from Progressive. The name Your Price Tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the name Your Price Tool for yourself and join the over 29 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back, Victory the Podcast. Connolly is anxiously awaiting talking about the JSX Victory the Podcast Queens Boulevard Film Festival.
The JSX Queens Boulevard Film Festival is also an international film festival because we got a couple doozies from the other side.
So now I've seen, we saw about five here. Are there a lot more good ones that I should see?
We have narrowed it down to five. And then we will pick three winners of the five.
Okay.
Probably next week or in the middle of next week. Hopefully by next episode, we are naming a winner and two honorable mentions. And be curious to see what Dylan has to say. Doug, you've seen them. You guys all have them on your phone. And if you can airdrop it, are you good at that yet, Kev? Can you airdrop?
Yeah, I can probably figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, if you could watch these movies. I mean, by the way,
the
whole file is 7 minutes and 37 seconds.
I watched them all.
I believe you sent it to me, though.
Yeah, you got it. So, but I think everybody should watch them on their big screen TV.
I've watched them all on the big screen TV.
You know what I'm saying? Like, give the artists.
Very impressive stuff.
Very impressive stuff. So JSX, Queens Boulevard Film Festival, probably announced in there next week.
Definitely a lot better than our first film festival. The qualities.
Because it was so specific. I think it weeded out a lot of stuff. So we got a lot of submissions, and it's good stuff. And we're really proud of the movies. And then we're gonna we'll bring some of the filmmakers on, and we'll hear about their process. Because some of these films I'm looking at, wondering, I don't know, some of them had to cost money to a certain extent. You know, so
I mean, I was very impressed.
Everybody I've shown is real impressed. So check those out, Kev. YouTube, we got videos on YouTube, the Action Park YouTube page. We got, we're doing a show. We do a hockey show. You guys aren't hockey guys, but we do a cool YouTube show
called Rangers, baby Rangers.
Hold on. I need to jump in here.
Quick shift with Scotty Wilson.
I can name every single Islander and their number from the 1978 to the 1984 Islanders. When he says I'm not a hockey guy.
Today's players.
Right.
Though.
Don't worry about that.
Don't you worry about that.
But Connolly, because Connolly plays in the Costa Mesa Men's League. He thinks he's Mr. Hockey. And I find it offensive. I don't know.
How are my Rangers doing? They doing good?
As Doug. I mean, he knows.
How are they doing? Rangers
doing good? They're doing good. They just got Patrick Kane.
As Don Cherry.
Don Cherry. What an old reference.
Jigs McDonald over there.
Once playoff time comes, I get really serious about it.
Well, you know, we had a bad situation, Kev Dillon. Rick Nash, awesome Ranger, invited us to go to the game, which I am a diehard Islander fan, so Connolly saying that is just stupid. But we went, and they lost. And they kind of said Dillon was a jinx.
They blame me?
Yeah, they
did.
Well,
what did they do?
Well, you know why?
They did the victory thing.
Because they put it up on the screen, the big victory. So, yeah. I mean,
it was rough.
When you scream victory,
on the ice, bro.
You walk out with an L. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's a typical excuse. Blame the guy in the stand.
Blame a fan.
I was secretly happy because I am a serious, like, Islanders are, if any team could win.
The Islander fan base did not love that move by you, by the way, I've heard.
That I went?
You like repping the Rangers.
Oh, the Islander fan base. So let me just jump in again. As Kevin Connolly, who, great actor, Golden Globe nominee, Emmy nominee, we all love him.
Here comes a shot.
He got invited.
He builds you to tear you down.
No, he knows what an Islander fan is. So because of Entourage, Kevin Connolly became almost the mascot of the New York Islanders.
Second shot. Shot number two.
Why is that a shot?
Mascot?
Right. Yeah, he's like
ambassador.
He's like the little leprechaun or something. Well,
yeah, leprechaun on
ambassador.
Running around the stand shooting t-shirts.
You should be the Notre Dame. He'd be a great Notre Dame leprechaun.
Firing t-shirts with a t-shirt going up the Zamboni.
They wouldn't even have to make the miniature version of it to sell. They just sell Connolly. But Connolly became the ambassador to the New York Islanders, which was
that's aggressive. I also made a movie.
It was way before you made the fucking movie. But either way, can I just finish? I wasn't even trying to insult you. I really wasn't. You became the celebrity go-to guy of the New York Islanders. Is that a fair?
That was 15 games below 500 for most of the time.
You cannot. Okay. Why don't you express what you were, and then I'll just go with my story.
I'm a loyal Islander fan, and I would go to Coliseum when the guys would go to the games when the team was mathematically eliminated. I've been a diehard fan.
God bless.
They acknowledge that when Entourage
I don't know why you're getting defensive about it. I was jealous of what you did and happy about what you did. What you did next, though, was horrible and awful. So Connolly gets invited to go to whatever, the 40-year anniversary with guys that, when I tell you, Clark Gillies, Bobby Nystrom, Dennis Potvin.
Doug's idols.
These were my idols, Bossy. And Connolly calls me up and goes, I was at the, 40-year anniversary?
Something like that,
And I go, you didn't think maybe I'd want to go? And he goes, fuck, you know what they said? I could have brought a friend.
So, I thought it was nice of me to think. I always looked out.
Islander fan who's a friend.
Right? Exactly.
You got Doug here.
But Kevin Dillon, do you know that I have some successful friends who at a point were trying to buy the New York Islanders? And you know what the first call I made was? Kevin Connolly, if we get this, do you want to be a part of this? And so I thought of you and you didn't think of me.
I wish it would have been easy. You'd be you're fun.
Just trying to imagine if that was an Entourage episode and drama doesn't invite Turtle to like a Ranger special event. That's basically what
that's
it was.
That's an outrage.
So that's what the payback for Yankee Stadium was for. Froze me out of shooting my own episode at Yankee Stadium?
You have to remind people what you're talking about.
Directors Guild of Association rules.
You need to remind people what you're talking about. But when we shot, Mark Teixeira got us Yankee Stadium, which was one of the greatest
Kevin Connolly was directing.
That was my episode.
He got stuck here and you got to go to Yankee
Stadium. He got stuck here being the star of the show, making $500,000 an episode. He was stuck. I mean, it was horrible. But he could not be in two places at once as much as he'd like to think he could. But anyway.
As friends, we all
need to look out for each other, you know?
I would have taken care of you, Doug.
Of course you would have.
Ew. What do you mean by taking care?
Semen retention kind of a way?
The other kind of way. It's just releasing kind
of. Just all horrible. Well, I hope... I hope that someone will take care of me because there's some very exciting stuff going on. And I don't know who listens to us from New York or California, but the Knicks are for real.
Yeah, Knicks are looking good, man.
Our friend, a friend of the podcast, Julius Randle, is, you know, last year people were getting on him, and I said it. Julius Randle is fucking awesome.
He's awesome.
And they beat Boston last night without Brunson playing in Boston.
And I love Brunson. Yeah.
And I mean, it's just they look good, and I'm not saying they're winning the title, so no one has to send me nasty messages.
No,
but
as a Laker fan. Exciting to be a Knicks fan.
How, well, you know what? Yes. They're one piece away, I feel, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
one release.
You know what? But I kind of felt like Stephen A.
They're
said
They're retaining
today.
Too much, I think.
I would like to win one series. That would make me very happy.
Oh, no, that's a successful season. If they Absolutely. Get in and win a series.
Like the Giants this year. Successful yeah. season, and then hopefully we step
what,
it up.
What will they look roughly? Like if it ended now, are they in the fifth? Sixth? Oh, they're in the five spot.
But they're barely out of the fourth spot.
Right. So they could end up with home court? Who
knows? Yeah, but they're also 10 in a row they've won.
It's good for sports.
Didn't he? Julius had like 60 points the other day, a couple days ago.
I don't know about 60, but
50? Was it 50?
Oh, Dame Lillard had 71.
Yeah. That was insane. But Julius,
it wasn't 60. It was like 50.
Julius hit a buzzer beater three, and then last night, I mean, they just look really good, and it's exciting, and it's good for the NBA, and, you know, and I don't know. I don't know if you guys are following us all, but the Ja Morant thing, which is insane, because I love that guy.
I love Ja.
I don't understand what thing. Happening. Dylan,
you're talking about the bus situation?
No, talking about him flashing a gun on Instagram.
The gun on his Instagram live or something.
Oh, because there was a little issue where him and his boys, after the game, were threatening some of the other players.
Now, there was something, supposedly beat up a high school kid.
He's rolling with some tough dudes, you know?
Well, I hope he gets it together because I love that guy.
Guys he probably grew up with. He's probably known him his whole life. So he's got to make that
sick athlete, man. Just so cool.
By the way, he's got the world ahead of him. Hopefully.
Yeah. But, I mean, he was the guy who right now I think everybody's looking at is the next face of the NBA.
Oh, he's a superstar.
Yeah. And but I mean, he's just got that presence that everybody just likes him too, no matter what team you root for. So I hope he gets it.
How about Luka and what's his name almost went at it?
Yeah, I saw that last night.
Didn't look like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they were smiling.
That's not Matt Barnes and,
you know,
Steven Jackson in your face, bro. You know,
what's his name again? I forget.
Devin Booker.
But Booker gets into it with everyone.
But I'm saying that felt like spirited competition. It didn't look like two guys that really were going to fight. I'm not saying that they should. I'm just saying.
Luka was not happy. He missed a pretty easy layup for the win. I mean, that was
One tie. It was going to be a tie. But Connolly has, speaking of it, weirdly enough, you picked Luka to win the MVP. I picked Devin Booker to win the MVP. I don't think either of them are going to win the MVP.
Well, I think Luka's right there.
He's got to be, right?
I don't think so.
Luka's there.
I mean, they're all going to be top 10, 15. He has zero chance to win the MVP.
Just to reiterate.
I disagree.
Just to reiterate.
Doesn't matter.
How many games are left?
Just like 20? I mean.
No, he's definitely there.
Zero.
To reiterate my DraftKings Sportsbook app prediction, I predicted the Lakers to win. And Luka to win MVP, so I'm still in play for that.
Yeah, you're looking good. Yeah. I don't think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs.
He says zero.
Good luck.
He said you got zero chance.
Well, we'll see.
No. Luka to win the MVP is probably. I don't even
Why
know
what you say
no? Because he's. I mean, Scotty, what are the odds right now? They're infinitesimal. I mean, he's just way behind.
Look at his score.
Giannis, Jokic.
Look at his numbers.
He's having a great season, but it's not an MVP. Their team sucks.
He's on a shitty team, but you can't control
that. Well, we'll see what happens in the last 20.
All right, what else? Give us something good to go off on.
That's it. We're going out. It's a good show.
We're
going to
do an episode next week or what? Because some people really want to hear episodes.
Yeah, we'll do an episode next week.
Yeah, man, let's do one.
Let's do one.
I'm back.
Are you going to reach out to Anna Faris again?
I've reached out, dude. I don't know what to say. You may want to pull the plug. I don't know.
I don't even know if she knows who I am.
I DM'd her. I DM'd the page. I DM'd everybody.
I thought Gary Goldman was going to come in and start trying to get us some talent, Gary.
I'm on it.
Let's just call our agent.
Tell that story about you being a stand-up comic at 21. That made me laugh. Really
Which
hard.
Story?
Tell that again.
We've heard that one.
What's the story?
Are you kidding me, bro?
Wait, what's the story?
Too many times, bro.
I was just kidding.
He was like a dig.
No,
it wasn't a dig. Scotty told me we never heard that story before here.
Ooh, so it's Scotty taking the shots. Shots are being fired.
Can you imagine, by the way?
Touche.
Can you imagine that Scotty or Stock Tip or now? Even Gary Goldman was that reviewer.
Oh, I mean, Scotty's got the DNA for it. He just wouldn't do it. Not to that level.
I think Scotty, when I look at Beefy Scotty, best Mar Vista man's player in LA, I believe he's a straightforward guy. I think Scotty would just be like, just be honest with you, I think you suck on the podcast.
Could be Stock Tip. By the way, I couldn't help but notice when I came in today, I was like, what is going on here? We got a desk over here by the door.
We're trying to get him out, bro.
You're moving his desk closer.
I gotta
to the
say, I want to end it on some stock tip stuff though. Because stock tip, two things. First of all, he's in Mammoth in a crazy snowstorm with Rob Weiss, who was judging the
Mammoth Film Festival.
Every year it gets snowed out. You can't even ski because there's too much snow.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Fucking mumble
mouth. I mean, this guy is so rude to me. I'm sweating. It's so hot in here. I mean, I'm dying.
That's because you've been. You're gonna fucking pass out. Bro, the blood is rushing to your
head.
You
got a lot of anger, bro.
I got to say something about Stock
Tip.
I'm
cool as a cucumber.
Stock Tip is one of my favorite people in LA and in the business.
But
what do you do about a friend who wants to chat with you all day and all night? I mean,
you gotta ignore it.
I get up, you know, I'm old now. I have to take a leak late at night. And I look at the phone just to see the time. And it's like I'm blown up from Stock Tip. He wants to show me snow from that.
Well, you should just wear Depends. This way you can talk to Stock Tip all night.
What am I supposed to do? Like, I don't want to insult them. What do I do?
I'll talk.
Insult him.
You know, this
just
is like Goodfellas again. What do I do? What do I do?
Tell him to dial it down.
You know, but I don't want to insult him because I do like him.
Just say, Dave, just take it.
I don't want to text with anybody all night.
Just say, Dave, 50% less texting. He'll get it.
That's fair, right? Yeah. 50%.
Do you have a single stock tip at all? That's what I'm going to know.
He never has.
Jesus. No stock tips.
By the way, you know what, Stock Tip? I know you're listening and I love you. I want
He's
you to start.
Probably not listening.
I'm going to send you Dylan's number, and I want you to start texting him some of your stock tips.
Oh, my God. Here's the thing.
If he's got one, I'd love to hear.
But Dylan would shut that down. Well, Dylan would just eventually stop responding.
I will analyze that stock, and I'll throw it back at him.
It's very scary. All right. We'll be back next week. We'll do an episode. Maybe with Gary Goldman can try to deliver out of first.
And hopefully next week, remember, JSX, Queens Boulevard, International Film Festival. Winners will be announced next week.
We also need A.J. Buckley, who will do it.
And Anna Faris and Grenier.
We need Pippen too. And we're gonna have our special guest come on probably like mid. Well, we're already. Are we mid March or anything? Be incredible.